All right, you guys, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I remind you guys that every single day, attorney Stan McDonald is indeed the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. 30-year veteran of the practice of law. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, I'm about to tell you a crazy story. And when I get the story going, JP is going to put a picture up on the screen. But let me ask you this first. Have you ever done something and then just wished you could take it back? I mean, I'm not talking about the thing that you knew was wrong and you shouldn't have done it. I'm not talking about the insult or the cheat or the slip up or the one that you already knew was a bad idea, but you did it anyway. I'm talking about that thing that seemed really cool. Like it was really interesting. Like it was a really good idea. At least it was a good idea at the time. That thing that you felt that you had thought through and then realized maybe you didn't think it all the way through and then you just wished you could take it back. Well, Congress just did that, believe it or not. Congress just looked at something that had been done decades ago, that had gotten out of hand, and when the good idea began to go wrong, they went and took it back. Reminds me of a guy they call Lawn Chair Larry. What? Yep, Lawn Chair Larry. Lawn Chair Larry was the epitome of the guy who had what he thought was a really good idea that didn't turn out to be sort of like he had planned. Lawn Chair Larry is the metaphor for last night's action in D.C. So yeah, I'm about to tell you the craziest story of a time when someone had this itch they just had to scratch. The guy's name was Larry Walters. He lived in San Pedro, California. Apparently, when Larry was roughly 13, he had this cool idea of using weather balloons to fly. Interesting. He tried to join the Air Force when he came of age to be a pilot, but he was rejected because of his eyesight. But he still had this itch to fly. And the weather balloon idea, it never left his mind. So in 1982, Larry Walters decided to take action. Larry and his girlfriend purchased 45 8-foot weather balloons, those are big, from a military surplus store and got some helium tanks from a party store. And then he went down to Sears and he bought a nice folding lawn chair. And on July 2nd of 1982, Larry Walters attached 42 of those balloons to his lawn chair, which he had rigged to a platform that had gallon jugs of water strung around it for ballast. He filled all 42 of the balloons with helium, and he put on a parachute, and he strapped himself into the chair in the backyard of his mother's house in San Pedro. He also, by the way, took a pellet gun, a CB radio, some sandwiches, a 2-liter of Coca-Cola, a pack of beer, and a camera. Sounds pretty legit so far, right? Well, things started going off kilter right away when the cord that tethered his lawn chair broke prematurely. Larry had apparently planned to notify the authorities before taking off, but when the anchor line broke, he was off to the races. His plan had been to float, you know, maybe 100 feet or so above his neighborhood. Not sure what the parachute was for then. But 42 8-foot weather balloons filled with helium, those things can do some flying. And y'all, Larry Walters' lawn chair rose rapidly to a height of 16,000 feet. What? Yes. As he flew along, he was spotted by several commercial airliners as he drifted into commercial airspace. He slowly drifted out over Long Beach, crossed into the primary approach corridor for Long Beach Airport, which caused the airport to then have to be shut down. And throughout the whole thing, though, Larry's on his CB radio talking to people on the ground, and he was pretty candid. At one point, the person on the ground said, sir, what information do you wish me to tell the airport at this time as to your location and your difficulty? He comes back with, the difficulty is this was an unauthorized balloon launch, and I know I'm in federal airspace, and I'm sure my ground crew has alerted the proper authorities, but just tell them I'm okay. FYI, the ground crew he was talking about was his girlfriend and his mom. After about 45 minutes in the sky, he decided it was a pretty good idea that he might want to get down. So he began executing his landing plan. Okay, which involved popping balloons. Yes, you heard me. Walters shot several balloons out with his pellet gun, taking care not to unbalance his load, and then he accidentally dropped his pellet gun overboard. And then he realized he was in fact descending, but it was going down at a faster rate than he had expected. So he began dumping water from his ballast jugs. He finally descended slow enough, but by then he had floated well into a populated area with no means of control. The balloons cables became caught in a power line in Long Beach. You can't make this stuff up. So of course the power line broke, causing a blackout in the area. But he landed unharmed, sort of, after having to climb down from the power lines, whereupon he was immediately arrested. Local authorities, they weren't really sure what to charge him with. I mean, this was a new one, right? One of them said, quote, "We know he broke some part of the Federal Aviation Act, and as soon as we decide which part it is, some kind of charge is going to be filed. And if he had a pilot's license, we'd suspend it, but he doesn't." Larry Walters became known as Lawnchair Larry. He had a brief fleeting fame. He even made it on the David Letterman show. His lawn chair is actually now in the Smithsonian Museum, believe it or not. At some point, he was asked about all of it. But his answer didn't really sound like somebody who was ready to go flying with balloons again. It sounded more like he wished he could take it all back. Speaking to the press one day, Lawnchair Larry said, quote, "It was something I had to do. I had this dream for 20 years, and if I hadn't done it, I think I would have ended up in the funny farm." But then he also said, "Since I was 13 years old, I've dreamed of going up in the clear blue sky in a weather balloon. By the grace of God, I fulfilled my dream, but I wouldn't do that again for anything." Okay. Classic example of somebody who thought they had thought something through and then wished later on they could take it back. I'd love to know more about what was going through his mind while he was up there at 16,000 feet for nearly an hour. But I'm pretty sure there were plenty of self-imposed questions he was asking himself about his own sanity. And that, my friends, brings me back to where we are today with Congress. You see, last night, members of Congress decided they were ready to take something back. Something that had started out in a different time with a different mode and wound up morphing into something that nobody had planned. Last night, the Republican members of Congress decided it was finally time to pop the balloons and defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Yep, the much-vaunted home of Sesame Street and Antiques Roadshow and All Things Considered and other programming, over $1 billion in taxpayer money each year was just defunded. Congress finally looked at the Frankenstein monster they created decades before and decided that what seemed like a good idea back then at the time had truly morphed. It had truly outlived its purpose. It was time to take it all back. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting was actually created in November of 1967 when President Lyndon B. Johnson signed the Public Broadcasting Act. Its original aim was, was the Public Broadcasting Service, PBS. They brought TV shows to public television, right? On February of 1970, though, they also formed the National Public Radio, NPR. So now NPR, PBS, both fall into the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's a network of public radio stations and TV channels that began operating all over America. Keep in mind, though, this was back at a time when color TV was still new, right? Cable TV was unheard of. There were really only three major networks that aired for roughly 12 hours a day and signed off at night. There was no educational programming. There was nothing that a teacher could show in a classroom. There was no means of ensuring that patriotic content or lessons on civics or how to read and write and learn numbers could ever be broadcast. It was also, by the way, a means by which the government could make emergencies known quickly back then. It had a mission, and it took to the airwaves on both TV and radio for nearly 60 years, and its budget grew and grew and grew. It was like watching a balloon chair that went way higher than anybody ever thought it would. Well, the Public Broadcasting Act of 67, it requires the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to actually operate with supposedly strict adherence to objectivity and balance in all programs or series of programs of a controversial nature. Really? Huh. It also requires it to review or to regularly review national programming for objectivity and balance and to report on what's known as, quote, its efforts to address concerns about objectivity and balance. Yeah, that didn't really happen, though, did it? You see, over time, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with PBS on TV and NPR on radio, totally lost its way. It became the harbinger of cultural shifts. To say that it became woke became an understatement. NPR famously announced the discussion of the Hunter Biden laptop was a pure distraction. When it came to illegal immigration, it ran a story about gay asylum seekers being so important. In 2020, it ran a piece titled "Fat Phobia and the Racist Past and Presence of Fatness." That's a good one. Transgender truckers got their own story too, because God knows there's a whole lot of trannies out there trucking the wheels of commerce in America. They've encouraged everything from eating bugs instead of meat, introducing gay characters on Sesame Street, and even opined that they may have been gay dinosaurs back in the day, because everybody knows that's real, right? Look, here's the bottom line. We've been paying for this with our tax dollars for almost six decades, and it was time to take it all back. What started off as a really good idea back in 1967 quickly went awry. Lawnchair Larry and NPR, who knew they had something in common, right? Go figure. But yes, there are times when you can actually face regret and take it all back. And that's thankfully what Congress finally did last night by defunding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.